G'day everyone and welcome to episode 16 of the Tim Topham TV Piano Teaching Podcast. Welcome to sunny Melbourne. Summer's actually finally coming around the corner, so apologies to all of you guys in America who are listening and just starting to enter the more miserable season. But look, great to have you with me and I'm sure you'll enjoy today's episode. We're going to be talking to Tony Betros, who is General Manager at Ansca. Now this is part one in a series of podcasts that I'm going to be doing about piano exams. And I've chosen to do this because piano exams form quite a serious component of the music education in a lot of countries, most notably Australia, certainly England, some parts of Europe, New Zealand and Canada. And so what I thought it would be useful to do is actually talk to some of the people about the differences in the exam board. So this is part one. We're talking about ANZCA, A-N-Z-C-A. It's the Australian and New Zealand Cultural Arts. And these guys run, as we'll hear in a moment, exams in a number of parts of the world, including Asia, Australia, and New Zealand. So here is my interview with Tony Betros. I do hope you enjoy it. And please, as always, if you have a spare couple of minutes, head to timtopham.com/iTunes. And the instructions are there for you to leave a review. I really do appreciate it. If you've been listening to a few of these and you're getting a lot out of them, please leave an honest review. I read them all, and it's just fantastic to not only hear what people are thinking, but also to increase those little rankings that do help in the visibility of the podcast online. And finally, make sure you check out the show notes if you're interested in all the links and things that we're talking about. And I know Tony's got a special offer to give you at the end. Head to timtopham.com/episode16. Thanks so much. One thing I forgot to say, if you happen to be in one of the countries where exams aren't so common, still have a listen to this because a lot of the conversation revolves around piano pedagogy in general and the kind of ways that we should be approaching it. Exams form a part of that, and you'll obviously find out about these exam boards. But if you're not in a country that has an exam culture in music education, then still stay tuned because I think you'll get a lot out of it. And even though a number of these exam boards operate in particular countries, in fact, some of them are very international and expanding. So if running or putting your students in for exams is something that interests you, but it's not so obvious that you could perhaps do that where you live, then make sure you check out these exam boards. Some of them are very wide-ranging international organisations. So here it is, the interview with Tony Betros of ANZCA. Well, welcome, Tony, to the podcast. Lovely to see you this morning.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, good to be here. Really good.
Now, Tony is General Manager of ANZCA, which is the Australian and New Zealand Cultural Arts. These guys run one of the other main exam boards in Australia, and I wanted to get Tony on because he's the General Manager and obviously knows this exam system inside out, so we can ask him every question that hopefully we need to try and find out more about how it all works. So just before we get started, Tony, I was just wondering, can you give us a quick brief kind of background about yourself and how you came to be in your position?
Yeah, for sure. A piano teacher for 30 years. A bit scary when I wrote that down. I started at ANZCA 3.5 years ago, but previously I taught at Melbourne Girls Grammar for 13 years at Penbank School in Mornington. You've probably not heard of that. But
I haven't heard of that one.
Beautiful little school on 9 acres of land out there. I taught there for 17 years.
I love the Mornington Peninsula. So for those of you not in Melbourne, this is kind of premier beach wine region. I love it.
The wine's really
great place to live and work.
Look, I did my associate performance diploma with ANZCA in 1984. Did the certificate of teaching at Melbourne Conservatorium. That was the MIMT course with the May Clifford used to run there. I don't know if you remember that name. Mm-hmm. And then did the public performance exam with ANZCA, the fellowship diploma in 1989.
Okay, and all on piano?
All on piano, classical piano.
Great, yeah. Fantastic. So not only have you taught piano, you've taught this exam board to students and you've also gone through it up to the highest level yourself.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, I've picked the right man, I think, haven't I?
Yeah. The other thing is I was a board director for quite a few years.
Right.
And then gave it away. I had a health issue for 12 months, and then they talked me into coming back. Oh, well, I was happy to come back as general manager in 2012, I think.
Okay, yeah. Great. Fantastic. All right, so let's start talking about Ansgar, and we'll put a link to Ansgar in the show notes, obviously, so people can have a look up online more about it. But what are the main goals of Ansgar?
The main goals are to offer a recognised system of assessment to all musicians, regardless of their chosen instrument, be it classical or modern, piano. But we were one of the first boards to introduce drum kit exams. We've got a ukulele syllabus. We've got a modern guitar syllabus.
Next thing you're going to tell me, you've got a kazoo syllabus.
Not a kazoo.
That's in the works still.
But we wanted to offer a system where all instruments and all styles of music were, you know, recognised.
Yeah.
Our other main goal is to offer an encouraging environment to all students, and particularly on exam day. It's a real focus of the board that the approach is encouraging to students.
Okay. So is that how the examiners approach it, or is that the actual physical environment? How do you do that?
Yeah, it is. It's the way the examiners talk to students. They must be greeted by their first name. And you know, there needs to be a few comments to try and make them feel relaxed before the exam starts. It's I was going to get into this a bit later, but it's also things like standardising the way general knowledge is asked. We've got a really prescriptive approach now, so that students and teachers have a really predictable approach. Yeah, they might be scared by examiners going, which they can do. They can go off on a bit of a tangent in general knowledge. So,
yeah, I think that's actually those kind of standardisations are really, really important, because it is very difficult for a teacher to prepare a student if you actually don't know how they're going to be asked these kind of questions. So I think that's a great benefit, yeah.
Yeah, it is. What we've actually done is listed the questions that the examiner can ask in the syllabus. So there's no surprises, but... you know, at the end of the day, the students still have to learn the same work, but they'll know how the question will be asked. The exact wording is listed.
Mm, great. And so we've talked about a few of the differences that perhaps separate your method and how Ansgar works to some of the other exam boards, but are there any other specific other features other than what you've already said that set Ansgar apart?
Yeah, there are. There's we have a free choice available, Tim, for all instruments, not all grades, from grade one.
A free choice, what is that?
So that's a free choice piece. They can choose any piece from any from anywhere, but it's the teacher's responsibility to ensure the standard's correct. It can be higher than the grade, but it can't be lower.
Right.
We don't have teachers sending in their free choice pieces for pre-approval. They just need to make that decision, and it'll be worked out on the day by the examiner.
Okay, sure. How many, while we're on it, how many pieces are students expected to play for an exam?
Well, three pieces up until grade four, and then four pieces from grade four on.
Okay, and one That's of them,
in our grade
mates. One up, can be a free choice piece.
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay.
The other thing that's a little bit different is that backing tracks can be used for two pieces.
Okay.
For all grades, sorry.
Okay.
Now, this has become particularly useful since we've kind of developed an association with Christopher Norton and his American Popular Piano.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually included the whole series as part of the modern piano syllabus.
Okay.
So it's a selection that teachers can make, you know, if they want to, but all the support is there with Christopher Norton's series, the American Popular Piano, because we've always struggled with training teachers in beginning improvisation. It's one of the requirements for that syllabus, and the American Popular Piano has turned out to be a really good match for us. So.
Great. Okay. Let's come back to that one, because I think that's a bit of an important topic in itself. But I was just going to say, I think you've got a number of different types of exams too, and we should probably make clear that the improvisation and the crucible and stuff is one type of exam. I think I'm right in saying, and there's classical exams. And can you just go over the different types of exams that you're?
Yeah, for sure. So we've got the normal traditional classical piano syllabus, and then we've got the modern piano syllabus. And the modern piano syllabus follows the same structure as the classical, but the genres are obviously modern.
Right.
It goes through to the same diploma levels that the classical syllabus goes through, but it's treated seriously. It's not meant to be an easy alternative. And in fact, you know, often the styles in modern, you know, the rhythms particularly can be really, you know, quite challenging.
Yeah.
But we also introduced a performance syllabus this year, which is an option for those that are perhaps busy and they're looking for an alternative type exam. It's just the performance of four pieces, Tim. No, yeah. There's no other requirements for that exam.
No general knowledge, no nothing. Just
no, nothing.
Get up there and perform. Yep.
Yep. Just four pieces, get up and perform. So, you know, the emphasis is on performance.
And is that at every grade or just certain grades?
No, it's from every grade from 1 to 8.
Okay.
And also a final level called performance diploma.
Okay. To be devil's advocate, could that not be used by teachers as a way to kind of get out of doing some of those things that are harder, the general knowledge and the sight reading? Oh, we just won't worry about it. We'll just get you to play music.
Yeah, look, it probably, well, I imagine some teachers might do that, but we're encouraging teachers to use it in a smart way. I mean, you can structure the technical work around the keys of the pieces,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and certainly sight reading and general knowledge shouldn't be avoided. Mm. But I think at the end of the day, their performance will suffer. It'll catch up with them by the time they get to the higher levels if they haven't got that technical background, certainly.
Mm. Look, I say that, you know, definitely as devil's advocate, it's not my own opinion. I think it's actually a great opportunity because it allows teachers to spend their time doing all the other things that they should be doing anyway, but they can sort of, instead of just focusing on a strict syllabus of scales, sight reading, general knowledge, oral tests, they've got more time then to talk about chords and progressions and improvising and composing and all
that. That's it. Kind of, I mean, good teachers will always be good teachers. So, you know, it's just horses for courses. It's just an option for kids when they get to those years where they're busy at school to continue their music studies.
Mm.
You know, like under the old system, they just drop out and that'd be the end of them. At least this is the way teachers can keep them going. Hopefully, you know, time comes back to them again and they can return to the normal syllabus. Mm.
That's great. Cool. So we've got the classical syllabus, the modern one, the performance syllabus.
Yeah.
Are there any other options?
Yeah, there's a duet syllabus.
Okay, that's great.
There's a keyboard syllabus, which kind of intermingles with the modern syllabus. The keyboard syllabus only goes up to grade 4, you know, electronic keyboard, right. Using all the instrumentation options on the keyboard.
Okay.
The rhythm unit and accompaniment and things like that.
And the duet one, that's you're assessed as a pair, I assume.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right.
Exactly right. So the report's duplicated and, yeah.
Yep. And there's a syllabus for that of the pieces that...
That's available for free download online, like all our syllabuses.
Fantastic. We'll make sure we link up to the syllabus downloads for sure. Yep. I was also going to say, is there... you mentioned that students can choose one of their pieces. Can they compose one of their pieces?
Yeah, I'd forgotten to mention that. They can. They can compose one of their pieces. So, okay. Yep.
And so that must be quite a hard thing for an examiner to judge the level of, because obviously if they're performing at a grade 6 level, I'd be pretty happy if someone could compose something at a grade 1 level or 2 level even.
Oh, right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, it does.
How's that judged?
Performance standard. It needs to be at the standard grade. Yeah,
okay. It does. Wow. Okay, so that is actually quite a challenge.
Oh, yeah, and they need to submit a score to the examiner as well. So
Right.
Yeah, so it's not as easy as it sounds.
That's not an easy way out.
Yeah, no, not really.
Probably better. Okay, so look, I mean, it sounds like one of the great benefits of what you guys are doing is that there is a huge variety of exam types to suit. So we're not trying to put everyone in one category and say it's just classical exams and that's it. It's like,
no, that's exactly right.
Yeah, you want to play with a friend, you play with a friend. If you want to do modern music, you do that. If you want to play a keyboard, do that. I think that's, you know, some
great that's features. It. Yeah, whatever the musician decides is their field, we want to try and support them and encourage them.
Mm. So in the modern, I'm assuming Christopher Norton's APP stuff, that actually we interviewed him, as you know, for podcast episode 2, I think it was. So we'll put a link to that in if you haven't seen that one already. Is that part of the modern piano course?
Yeah, it's part of the modern piano syllabus. So. Okay. We went through all the books ourselves and decided and graded them, you know, a level 5 book of Christopher Norton we didn't regard as being all grade 5 pieces. Some were in grade 3, some in 4, and some in 5 from memory.
Yeah.
So we've categorized them in each grade. But the thing that we like about that course is that there's training in improvisation, which we'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christopher takes them through step by step. There's actually a book, the Etude book, that that really deals with things in a step by step basis, which teachers should really appreciate. It just makes it so much easier to. Mm.
Yeah, I agree. And for anyone listening who hasn't explored improvising, then first thing I'd do is just watch that podcast with Christopher, because he talks about how he goes about doing this. But those books, they really just start with, he says, you know, improvising can be, you know, one note. Let's play it in a simple rhythm, and then let's add a second note. And you know, that's where you start. So for teachers who are freaking out and saying, I can't teach improvising, this is a great method to use, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, Tim, because I think the word improvisation, you know, a lot of teachers link it to the great jazz improvisers, and that's the kind of concept that's in their mind. But like you said, it can be one or two notes, and Christopher just makes it look so easy and approachable.
Mm. And I have to say, I've used APP, the American Popular Piano books before, and the backing track, like they're well-written pieces, obviously, but the backing tracks are pretty cool. Like, you know how when they first started bringing out backing tracks with these kind of books, they were just, I don't know, like MIDI, like they just sounded terrible. But these are all his backing track stuff that he does is very cool. So
for sure, you're grooving along with.
Yeah, I think kids really enjoy that. All right, so what areas do you cover? Where can people be examined? Because I've obviously got listeners all over the world. Whereabouts are you focused at the moment?
Well, we examine in every state of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
We examine in New Zealand, in both islands, and then we're also in Southeast Asia. So that's Malaysia, Indonesia, Singapore, and Thailand.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got representatives in each of those Asian countries, and we've got a representative in New Zealand as well who takes care of local business there. But everything's run out of this office in Diamond Creek.
The plush office behind you, the walnut veneered everything.
Right on the edge of suburbia. We've seriously got kangaroos that come up into the car park, when you're walking off the car every night.
My US viewers are going to love that. What a shame. We're just shame we couldn't get a photo of you riding one into work today.
It's a bit scary, but
and how many exam sessions do you offer, or does it depend on the location?
It does, but for most capital cities there's 3 sessions a year, and then for others there's usually at least 2 sessions a year.
Right.
They're May, June, August, September, and October, November.
Great, fantastic. And let's just talk about examining at the moment. I just want to talk about 2 things. One is the way they're examined. Is it a numerical, the examiner sits there and just and you know, marks 10 out of 10 for this and 5 out of 5 and that sort of thing, or is it just a letter grade at the end?
No, it's a mark for each section.
Okay.
And I think teachers appreciate that because they can see exactly where the marks have gone.
Yeah.
The other thing with marking each section, it kind of ties the hands of the examiner. Like, you know, I've seen reports come in where kids might get, you know, 4 out of 18 for their scales, and then they'll end up getting 14 out of 14 for 3 of their pieces. So it's just, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. So. And it's, so it's very, yeah, it's a very clear way to let teachers know what needs to be improved and how students.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And we're really trying to improve our report writing in that way, because we're saying to examiners now, look, even if you deduct half a mark, you know, teachers want to know why.
Mm.
Yeah, you can't just say great work, 13 out of 14. There must have been some reason why, you know, a mark was lost. So, look, even if it's an uneven bar or something like that, you need to mention it. We need to give the teachers feedback. They want to know what's going on.
Mm. Yes, yeah. It can. I've had that experience. It can be frustrating when a student gets all the best comments. The comments are fantastic. Everything's great, and they get a B.
Yeah, like, I know.
How does it work? I don't know.
it's frustrating.
Yeah, for sure. So let's just talk about examiners. How do you train them to sort of standardize their approach without going into obviously too much detail? But how can you ensure that that's the case as much as you can?
Well, the first thing we do is we put every new examiner through a training course. That can take anywhere from 6 months to 2 years. It depends how quickly they get their assignments back. It's a correspondence course, so they can work at their own speed. But, you know, often they start, everyone's busy these days, so it can kind of drag out sometimes be 2 years.
So it's like a written reading and writing and watching videos kind of course.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and talking to them, and, you know, okay. if they've got trouble with anything, we're here to help them. It's not like we don't want to be critical of them. We want to assist them. Mm. But then they'll train with an experienced examiner. They'll just sit in. It could be 2, 3, 4 times until they feel comfortable. Then they'll be out on their own for 2 years under probation, where their reports are checked really closely and there's constant feedback from the office. And then there's ongoing examiner meetings and training, you know, just as an ongoing thing.
Yep.
Syllabuses have changed quite a bit in the last few years, so we do need to make sure that we're doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, we've kind of already touched on this, one of the things that teachers find a bit of a struggle sometimes is the supplementary exams. So the general knowledge and oral and all of this kind of stuff, how does that work? What do students have to do if, as long as they're not doing the performance exam, if they're doing one of the exams, what do they have to do in addition to play their pieces?
Okay. So I think classical teachers will be used to the normal thing. So there's sight reading, general knowledge and oral tests. One of the advantages of our oral test is that there's no singing required by the candidates, so they're all rhythm-based and still pitch-based, but you're just answering questions about intervals or, you know, whether a piece finishes on the tonic or the dominant in the low grades, this kind of thing.
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
It can be great for, you know, I teach a lot of teenagers, especially boys. Yeah, that's right. So that can be a big advantage. Go on.
Yeah. And with the modern syllabus, you can choose to do sight reading or improvisation. So there's actually an improvisation test, which is kind of, there's a melody line with chord symbols, and you're expected to, you know, in the early grades, just accompany that melody by creating your own chords.
Right, great.
And then as you get into the higher grades, you know, by embellishing the melody and adding to it.
Oh, see, I mean, you... That just sits so well with some of the things that I love helping students do, like reading from lead sheets. I think, anyone that's been listening to me for a while will know my thoughts on chords and improvising and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's living in today's world, isn't it? I mean, someone puts a bit of music down in front of you, you've got to be able to do something with it.
Yeah, and that's right.
Often it's a modern piece, so yeah. It's useful. It's useful.
And are there resources to help teachers with that test?
Yeah,
that could be a bit scary.
No, it is. It starts at grade 2, the choice for improvisation, but we've got a book that covers every level from grade 2 right up to diploma. Wow. And pre-grade 2, there's a lot of explaining and training and what's expected. And then as it goes on, it's, you know, it's it's explaining things as it goes along.
Yep. And oral tests and general knowledge and scales, technical work, obviously written up in your syllabus, but would teachers be expecting similar things to what they would be assuming by those words?
Yeah, that's right. There's books for each of those sections that cover every grade. The technical work covers every grade and the oral test covers every grade. So it's not like you're buying a book every couple of grades or something like that. We didn't talk about books. The books for the classical syllabus are fully resourced. So there's grade books for every grade from introductory to grade 8.
Right.
The same for the modern syllabus. So there's books for every grade as well.
And how long between changeovers of books sort of thing? Like do the books last for a number of years or are they a new book each year?
Yeah, no, they're grade books. Yeah, they're grade books.
So let's say I'm teaching a grade 1 student this year and I've got another one next year. Does the book change?
Oh, no, it hasn't changed for a while.
Okay.
For a good while. And we need to, we're starting to get it onto our agenda now. We need to be thinking about the next series. But the series has been out for quite a few years, more than 5 years, I think.
Okay. And are there kind of, lists of pieces other than what's in the book that you can use?
Yeah, there's the manual list, of course.
Okay, there is a manual list, great.
Yeah. And then the free choice means that you can do, because we've moved to a three-year syllabus now, the free choice gives the candidates an opportunity to play whatever's current, so...
Okay. You said moving to a three-year syllabus. What does that mean?
It's now going from 2015 to 2017. So the syllabus will last for 3 years. It used to just last for 2 years, but now it's 3 years.
Fantastic. Okay. So I think you've answered this before when you mentioned your own experience. You offer diploma exams as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And what are the main requirements of those? Are they similar to what other exam boards are doing?
They are. There's associate, licentiate, and fellowship diplomas.
Right.
In the normal syllabus, it's associate is four pieces, although five pieces in modern. So there's four in classical, five in modern.
Okay.
Don't ask me why that's come about. Let's go back through the archives. And then there's general knowledge with that exam as well.
Right. And that's a oral general knowledge. Spoken?
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. But even, we were talking before about general knowledge, we still want to try and make it that the questions are predictable. And we have listed them even in associate level.
Okay.
But the question might be something like, talk about the form of this piece. Okay, so if we're looking at a bark, prelude, and fugue, we're not expecting a two-word answer from the candidate. We're expecting them to talk about the sections, the keys, everything to do with form with that piece. We'd rather not prompt them. We'd rather just have them talk.
Yeah.
So if they, but if the examiners are not getting the answers that they want, they'll prompt, but that, kind of results in a deduction, if you like.
Yeah,
and that's in the syllabus. We expect them to talk. There's not that many headings, but if they're asked for one, they're expected to be able to talk about it.
Mm.
Licentiate is similar, but with the high standard pieces, and the fellowship diploma is the public performance.
Okay. Yep.
The public performance, we always bring in an outside examiner. So last year we had an improvisation fellowship diploma. Would you believe the first one ever?
Wow.
So this guy just got up and improvised on the spot. He told us what pieces he was playing, but. Apparently, it was all improvised on the spot. Now, we had Professor Tony Gould as the guest examiner for that. So we always try and look for a real expert in that field.
Great.
To assist with the examining and that's our flagship diploma. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. And what are the memory requirements at those levels? Do you know off the top of your head?
I think licentiate's only one piece. And fellowship, I think we expect memory on every piece.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool. I was blogging not long ago about memory and my thoughts on that. So
yeah.
It's a good question to ask.
Yeah.
All right. So, what else have I got here? Do you? Oh, how quickly do exam results generally get come out?
Okay, that's a good one. Well, the golden rule in the office is the day they arrive in the office, they're posted out of the office. So,
on the same day.
On the same day.
And right? They normally arrive the next day after the exam, do they, or something?
Well,
depends.
Yeah, it depends. You know, we expect the examiners to get them in within 24 hours, to have them in the post at least. But the thing we're finding really annoying is Australia Post has really gone. and you know, where we used to get praised for getting the results out so quickly, it's kind of like, well, yeah, where are they? And it's out of our hands. Well, we've actually resorted to tracking every item that goes out of the office now. So we can see them sitting at the mail centre for 2 or 3 days, but, yeah.
Not much I can do about that.
I don't know what's going on there. But the other thing is not only are the reports posted, but the certificates are posted at the same time. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Great. And that kind of leads us on to my next question, which is about online enrollment results and syllabuses. So I know that some exam boards have their syllabuses online. I know you guys do. So that's one thing we can put a link to. What about, have you thought about online results or enrollment? Or do you do enrollment online? I don't even know.
Timely question, Tim. We actually had our website guru out on Tuesday this week.
Right.
Because we've made the decision that, they, you know, this is the way we need to go now. So we're you know, pricing it all up and, expect
to have... in the pipeline.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that for results or for enrollment or both?
Well, we want to try and do as much as we can online. So, you know, we're imagining a teacher portal where they can see their results and enroll their students and do everything.
Yeah,
basically.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be the way of the future, I guess. But I would imagine that it done properly and linked with your own kind of systems, it could potentially save your office staff a whole lot of work as well.
Well, that's what Craig, our guy, was saying on Tuesday. Yeah. That's the other benefit of it. It's good to stay as a small office if we can. That'll really suit us as well.
Great.
Just those paperwork too, Tim.
Oh, absolutely.
All
of us teachers are with you on that one. If you could get rid of the paperwork, that'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, just a couple of more questions and we'll wrap it up. One of the hardest things for teachers considering a change of exam board is that, you know, they might have taught a system for 5, 10, 20, 30 years or whatever it is.
Yep.
So they're really used to how it all works and everything. So what advice would you give teachers considering a change of system?
Yep.
You know, are there some pros and cons and how should they go about it if they want to just dip their toe in the water?
Yeah. Look, the first concern that usually gets raised is, you know, is ANSCA recognised? You know, this is a thing that often comes up.
Mm.
Now, where it's available, ANSCA subjects are approved for inclusion on state and territory education certificates. So we're talking about in Queensland, you can have your music results included as part of the Queensland Certificate of Education. ANSCA is approved for that. In South Australia, the same thing. We're approved by the South Australian Education Department. In the Northern Territory, in Western Australia, and ANSCA qualifications of grade 7 and above are also able to be used for Queensland tertiary admission. So in all the states where it's relevant, ANSCA has equal recognition as, I guess our biggest competitor is the AMEB.
Sure.
That's the first concern. Like in New South Wales and Victoria, there is no recognition of private music exams with, say, VCE, so it's not relevant there.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of putting teachers at rest to go, this is a recognised formal exam board that people know about, so, you know, don't worry about that aspect.
But
what about all that kind of, I've got to relearn a whole system and all this kind of stuff?
Look, our main focus is on the student. You know, we want the exam experience to be a really positive one for the students. Now, that's for all grades, whether we're talking about beginners or whether we're talking about adults doing their diplomas. You know, how do we do this? Okay, well, we insist the examiners greet students by their first name. The board recently introduced a complaints procedure, so any complaints that teachers make are treated very seriously and are brought up with the examiner. So, you know, we want teachers to be assured that their students are our first interest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said before, this thing with general knowledge, trying to make the exam more predictable for teachers. Another advantage of ANSCO, I guess, is the free choice from grade one and above and being able to play your own compositions.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I'm quite answering what you're asking me to.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think the question more specifically is just about, I guess, is it easy for teachers, if they have been following another exam board for many years, to try out ANSCO? And yeah, how would they go about it?
Look, I think it is. The first thing they could do is go and download a syllabus from the website. So all our syllabuses are available for free download. So, you know, they don't need to pay anything. They can have a look. Look, the way our normal exams are set up, the classical and the modern syllabus, they're very similar to AMEB. Mm-hmm. The standards are very similar.
So for people listening around the world who might not know, AMEB is the Australian Music Examinations Board.
Yeah, they're the ones that have been around for 75 years or whatever. We're the new kids on the block.
You're the new kids, yeah. I've had a few students through ANSCO, but I remember the first time I did it, I just decided for one of my students who was tending towards the more modern music, but was interested in doing the exam, I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to give it a go and try it. And yes, I had to do a bit of reading and a bit of research, and I had to try and find. I had to find some new music and explore it. But it was actually a great little mini PD session for me in understanding how a different exam system works. Finding and teaching new repertoire, which is fantastic, because we all know that it's very easy to stick to the pieces that we know really well and not try any new ones. So
that's exactly right.
I think that's a huge advantage of actually trying a new exam board. And the other thing is that, you know, you don't have to change your whole studio over, do you? You're like, you can
Copy horses for courses. You might decide you want to, like you said, if you've got students that are more modern inclined, you know, you might want to give them a go with the ANSCO syllabus.
Yeah.
Look, the other thing with the performance syllabus I forgot to mention is the pieces you can choose from either the classical or the modern in any combination you want. So with that performance
without the
other requirements, yeah.
Okay.
So pieces, yeah, you can choose from either syllabus, which gives a much wider variety.
Absolutely.
Much wider choice.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, so last couple of questions. What are some of the resources and websites that you guys have that provide resources for teachers?
Yeah. Well, there's our website, and that was recently updated just in the last 12 months.
What's the address of that?
That's www.ansca.com.au.
Great, thank you.
From the website, we sell our own books. We actually produce our own books, Tim, in-house.
Okay. Yep.
So we've got a big printing room up the back of the building here.
Oh, literally in the building.
Yeah. Well, look, not all of them, but those ones that have a smaller quota, yeah, we produce them in-house. Yeah.
Okay. And so teachers can buy that online via your website? So let's say you're going to try it out with your grade three student. They can go online, find the grade three syllabus, or find the syllabus is free, right?
Yeah, they'll get the syllabus free, but they can find the grade three book. They can download that. They'll find the oral test book, the technical workbook. And it's all completed online so that post it out the same day as soon as we get the email.
Fantastic. Great. Yeah. And for more information, teachers, obviously, to the website, if they were to leave questions on the show notes page of this podcast, would you be able to flick them a quick answer if they've got a question?
For sure.
Yeah,
no worries at all.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
All right. So you're the guru of ANSCO. What haven't I asked you that I should have asked you? Have I missed anything?
Look, we've got the Facebook page, which is proving really popular.
Okay, great.
What else have we got? We've got YouTube channels, which demonstrate a lot of our pieces, piano, ukulele,
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
and other things. I just can't quite remember what they are now, but there's links on our website to the YouTube channels.
Okay. I might try and get them from you, and I'll put them in the show notes as well, perhaps to the YouTube and the Facebook page so people can link up to that too.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Yep. Yeah. So I don't know. What else should you have asked me?
I don't know. I think that's pretty good, actually. So I was just thought, in case there was anything on the top of your head, you're like, oh, I really need to remind everyone of this.
Yeah.
No, it's been good. It's been really good to chat with you, Tony. You know, we've been in touch online for a while, and I only got to meet you, what was it, earlier this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, was it this year? Was it?
Yeah, during one of Chris Norton's tours. So it's great to have this conversation, and I would encourage other teachers. The whole purpose of this series I'm doing on exam boards is to say, hey, you know, there's every student is different, and different exam boards and types of exams are going to suit different types of students. So we don't have to try and fit square students into round holes. And pick the board and the syllabus that suits your students, and it's going to give them the best outcome. That's kind of my approach.
That should be your approach. And look, thanks for the opportunity. It's very much appreciated.
No, you're welcome.
And look, if anyone's interested, they're welcome to contact me at admin@anska.com, or you'll get that from our website if you can't remember it. But we'd like to offer any teachers in Australia and New Zealand a complimentary teacher pack if they're trying to go a bit further. So that includes a hard copy syllabus, which normally retails at $11, and whatever else we can find to send them out here.
Great. And how do they go about getting that?
Just contact me at the email address.
Send you an email? Okay. Which is admin@anska.com. .com. Even though your website's .com.au.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You can.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much. That's an awesome, awesome little offer for people that want to try and dip their toe in the water and see what it's like.
Oh, yeah, one more thing, Tim. We've got a special offer for Tim Topham subscribers.
Right.
So when they're at the checkout, if they're purchasing any books, they just need to type TT in the bonus box, I think it's called.
Yeah, the promotional code box or whatever, yeah.
And they'll get a 20% discount on it.
Fantastic. There we go. All right. So we've got two offers now. So email you for a teacher pack, admin@anska.com.
That's right.
And if they want to get stuck in and buy a couple of resources, use the code TT at checkout on your site.
Exactly right.
Great. Fantastic.
I'm sure I'll remember that one, TT. Yeah,
good. And I'll put that in the show notes too, which is excellent. So is there a time limit to that offer, or is it ongoing for some time? Because obviously
we've made it for 2 weeks, Tim. Okay. Think that's enough? Yeah.
Yep, that's fine. So we'll let people know when that's going to finish up too. Brilliant. All right, Tony, thanks so much for your time, and look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thanks, Tim. Really appreciate it.
All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.